Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. And right now we're up to episode 16 of season 7. It's called Thine Own Self, directed by Weinrich Kolbe. Teleplay goes to Ronald D. Moore, story goes to Christopher Hatton, aired back on February 14th, 1994. In this episode, Data, suffering amnesia, unintentionally exposes a primitive alien village to dangerously radioactive materials. Also, Troy takes tests necessary for a promotion to commander from lieutenant commander. Amy is here to talk about this one. It's going to be Amy's hasn't been on the podcast since season 2's The Child, I think. So she's had a couple seasons worth of episodes to think about it. What does she think about Thine Own Self? We will figure it out right after this.
Remarkable set of teeth. Breath smells like... Well, it doesn't have any smell, actually. You can close your mouth. Let's see. Heartbeat sounds a little odd, but seems very regular. Skin feels clammy. But you say you feel fine?
That is correct.
No headaches, palpitations, sluggishness, indigestion?
No. But I cannot have indigestion since I have not eaten.
Ah! Malnutrition. You should try to eat something that will build your strength and return your vitality. Lots of meat, butter, cheese. That should be a start.
What about his eyes and his skin? They're so odd.
Quite so. Quite so. I'm sure my grandmother would have called our friend here a demon or a spirit or some sort of monster. But current scientific methodology allows us to dismiss such ridiculous superstitions and concentrate on scientific reality.
Then what do you believe I am?
You are an ice man.
So you excited that Troy finally got promoted to commander?
Yeah.
No.
I guess so.
Wait, did you think that the commander test made a lot of sense?
I kind of liked the commander test. I liked the use of the holodeck for that. Actually, those are some of my favorite scenes.
So we're talking about Thine Own Self. Amy's back. Amy, how are you? You haven't been on the podcast since season 2's The Child, I think, which was another Troy episode, although this isn't really a Troy episode, but Troy's in it.
Yeah.
So how have you been?
Well, I've been well, just raising a baby.
Raising a baby, taking care
no
of things.
Deal.
And now you're called in because everyone is doing their last episode of Star Trek, if they've co-hosted the show. So you are on for a data-centric episode called Thine Own Self. And you can probably explain Thine Own Self. What is that a reference to, right?
I can. It's from Hamlet. And
written by Bill Shakespeare.
Yeah, written by Bill Shakespeare. Polonius says it to his son.
It's to thine own self.
Be true.
Be true. So with that context, do you think that it's a sort of apropos title for the episode, I guess, to Data?
To Data, yeah.
Not to Troy.
I mean, I guess, I don't know if I don't know enough about Troy. I don't really, Troy's not my favorite character in the show. I guess maybe you could answer this. Is she an ambitious character? Does it make sense that she would want to all of a sudden be a commander?
I think that it's like, it's a little bit, her storyline's a little bit weird here just because it comes out of left field.
Right.
And also that, like, she gets inspired basically because she goes to, like, her high school graduation.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of out of, like, envy or, like, a sense of inadequacy.
Right, that she hasn't done it before. I think this is the first time we learn that Dr. Crusher has a commander rank as well.
I'm okay with Crusher being in command. For whatever reason, that makes more sense to me.
Just in terms of the character?
Yeah, you think it makes more I think she's... Yeah, she just strikes me as a more ambitious, self-driven character than Troy.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just the limitations of Troy's character where she doesn't strike me as like a particularly talented person on the Enterprise.
Right.
You know, she just like is good at listening to people and giving them advice, but she's basically like a therapist. She doesn't she doesn't seem to have any like unique skills that make her a vital part of the ship.
Yeah, I think it just ties into like all of the, because I mean at this point, the test seems to be to get the rank of commander, but I feel like you can be in command of the ship otherwise. Like, because I would assume this is saying that Worf could never be in command of the Enterprise, which I guess makes sense on some level, but I guess it doesn't on some other level.
I was thinking that too, more about Data. Data can be in command, right? Isn't it Data next in line after Riker?
But he's technically a lieutenant commander. So
okay.
Geordi's lieutenant commander as well.
Could Geordi be in command?
No. But I guess Worf could not be, if I'm understanding like how the sort of chain of command works properly, because he's just a lieutenant.
Right.
And I guess that,
although he would seem to be more qualified to be in command than Troy, since he's on the bridge all the time.
Although I thought in Disaster, I thought they said that Troy carried the rank of lieutenant commander.
Well, there's a weird thing in the chain of command, because I think it was Picard, Riker, and Data, and I guess, I don't know if Crusher didn't have command capabilities at that time.
For what?
To take command of the ship, because there was I saw that episode a while ago, but she was...
The Disaster episode?
Yeah, she was...
Well, she was stuck on the bridge.
Yeah, where it was Crusher gone and Worf?
No, Crusher was in the cargo bay. Worf was stuck with Keiko. She was giving birth. None of them could get to the bridge. That's why Troy was like the last one. But I thought in that episode they said she had lieutenant commander, so it doesn't really make sense. I would think that they could be in command at that point, although I don't know if I'm just misinterpreting. Anyway, I guess that's the least interesting aspect of the whole thing. I guess we'll just finish up the Troy storyline. So, because it's sort of small, it's not really attached to the Data storyline in any way. I guess To Thine Own Self Be True kind of fits with Troy, although I've never really gotten the impression that she is driven to this extreme. And I also think that the commander test is a little silly, that it's basically just like it's like the bar. You can just pass the test or you can just take it repeated times until you get the answer right.
You get it right.
And
like Vinny and My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah. And it's also... I understand what they're trying to do, but it feels like when you have to ask someone to sacrifice themselves and it's just a holodeck program, I don't feel like it's... I guess you have to kind of come to the realization that that's what you'd need to do, but it certainly doesn't have the stakes that would
I guess that's true. I mean, I guess, yeah, a more apropos test would be an actual real-life situation.
But then, right? Well, then it would be tough because you'd be in a real-life situation and be like, oh, this is your turn to,
but
like...
But Picard would be there and Riker would be there to step in. It's like one of those things where they can supervise it.
Well, I feel like it wouldn't be... I feel like a commander test would just be based on, like, a merit promotion. Like, it wouldn't be down to a test. It would be, like, after years of service,
someone
realizes that you've done enough.
Yeah, and it is kind of weird that she's never been in command before.
Well, she was in Disaster.
Well, yeah, that one time because she had to. There was no choice. But, yeah, I guess you're right.
I just think the test itself is kind of a silly idea.
Maybe I just liked watching the holodeck scenes. But what I didn't like about... I don't think her storyline fits in with the title because she is not the kind that would be able to cut emotional ties and send someone to their death. And she basically admits that to Riker.
Right.
She's like, I'm not cut out to be command. And then she becomes a commander.
Well, then he's like, well, you passed the test.
And
too bad.
She's like, oh, great. Now I get promoted.
Yep.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I think it's kind of what the show does with its B storylines. It doesn't really fit into the sort of overall storyline. I think it's fine. I don't think it's a particularly fitting thing for the kid. I almost would have preferred if she declined it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If he was like, you pass, and then she would say, I've realized I was comparing myself needlessly to other people when really my true calling is to be a counselor.
Right.
This is not, yeah, this I doesn't don't. Fit me.
Right. This doesn't fit my personality. Like, I don't want to be put in that position to have to tell Geordi to go into the radiation thing. I think I'd agree with that. I think it doesn't really fit the Troy character. The story would have been more impactful if she hadn't,
if she
declined it. It would have been like a little bit more of an interesting take on it. I do think the test is kind of silly, that it's basically like a multiple choice test and then you just kind of get the thing.
It doesn't really fit into what, since the universe in Star Trek seems to emulate like a military chain of command.
Yeah.
Where you move up the ranks after a certain amount of time and after a certain, certain experiences.
There probably are some, in real world, there probably are tests you have to take, but it's probably not.
I mean, maybe, but it seems weird that someone in a completely unrelated field could just take a test to be a commander.
Yeah, I'm curious how it works. Because it would work for doctors. Doctors in the military have rank, just like Crusher does.
Yeah, and she could just take the command test.
I guess it's not worth tying it into.
It doesn't seem to work for when there's the promotion to the ambassadors, right?
Well, that's that seems more like a not honorary, but it's more of you don't really need qualifications to be an ambassador.
I would think you'd need it to be a previous captain.
They probably do. I guess I'm trying to tie it into a real world. Ambassadors don't need to go to ambassador school. It's not an honorary title.
Are we talking about Star Trek? I was talking about Star Trek ambassadors.
You're talking about admirals, right?
Admirals. That's what I mean. I don't watch the show enough to know all the titles.
Admirals are, the rank above a captain, but. Ambassadors would just be ambassadors, I think, in the show kind of tie into what they are in real life, which is kind of a not honorary, but not, you don't need particular qualifications to do it.
I meant to say admiral.
Can you name an admiral?
No, I just can see their faces. There's that older woman admiral and that older man.
there's no young admiral. So I guess in the first season there was Admiral Jameson. He was pretty young, although he artificially made himself that way. I guess we'll talk about Data. Which is the more...
Yeah, this is a much better storyline.
It's the A storyline, certainly.
And I like the idea that... Sorry, I just cut you off. But no. He doesn't have any memory of who he is and or where he's from. So he has no context, but he just basically becomes... He becomes like Data in terms of his need to solve a problem. And he also... does so compassionately, where he basically willingly sacrifices himself for this village.
Yeah. I think it's a good Data episode, and it could almost be a, if he had actually died at the end, it would kind of been a fitting send off for the character, who's just kind of the sort of representation of unemotional, moral goodness, yeah, I guess, for the greater good, and that's
and
what he does.
And what the, I guess the directive is where you have to, when you come into contact with these people that are primitive. I mean, right? These are primitive people that don't have any way of solving this problem.
Yep. And speaking of Shakespeare, they all dress
like Shakespearean
yeah. actors.
They do.
That's the laziness of the season 7 sort of alien design continues here, where they're basically
they're
all
super
just dressed
boring.
Up.
They just have a weird design on their forehead that make them.
Yeah, that's the typical alien design. They have a different forehead, and they basically are dressed like they're from the 1700s, 1800s.
Yeah, they just look Shakespearean.
Yeah. I think that it's, and you mentioned about the directive of interacting. It's funny that no one cares about the prime directive in this episode. I don't think you care about the prime directive at all, but it's the idea that they shouldn't interfere with species, and they have a lot of episodes that kind of, sort of knee jerk give reactions about what interfering with a species does. And this one, they have pretty big interference and no one seems to really care. A demon person came and gave them dangerous rocks, and then they killed him.
Well, they tried to limit the harm by having Data go there to clean it up.
Right. Well, that was the initial thing.
That was the point. I mean, obviously they lost contact with Data, so they didn't know this was happening, but Data kind of, I don't know if it's unintentional or just he basically sets about trying to reduce the harm to these people.
Right, through his sort of development of understanding of what he's done. I mean, I guess the big thing that you have to get around on this episode is that Data's amnesia is pretty selective in terms of what he remembers. I think it was your biggest problem while you were watching it. Do you want to explain?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I just, again, I'm not a frequent watcher of Star Trek, but it just kind of annoyed me that he conveniently didn't know the definition of radioactive.
But he knows everything.
But he knows
pretty much
everything. He knows how to construct a more, complex microscope. He knows how to analyze skin cells. He's able to...
Well, I guess you could fix it in the script by him not knowing what other words are. So you could sort of say that his, like, vocabulary or memory has been distorted.
And when we watched it a second time, I was like, well, maybe his memory is just gradually coming back. I mean, that could... But then you could say, why wouldn't he then understand what radioactive means? It's just a weird gap in the writing that I think is just... They have to make him not understand what that means in order for the experiment to make sense.
Well, I think that the writers are stuck in two things, because you have to, A, explain what the box is to the audience, right? The way around it would just be that the box doesn't say anything on it whatsoever.
Maybe just have the radioactive symbol.
It could just be the symbol, but then we'd still run into the problem of why doesn't Data know? Because he would have to say, well, I guess you could right away, like, I don't know what this symbol is. Yeah. Maybe that would make more sense. Maybe they should have just had the radioactive symbol.
Yeah.
But the writers are stuck because they have to explain to the audience, it is an early 90s TV show, what is in the box and what's wrong with it. And so it's awkward that Data doesn't know what radioactive is, even though he seems to know what every other word remains. They don't really explain what loss of information Data has. He basically doesn't know that who he is or that he's an android. Those are like the things that he doesn't know.
Yeah, where he came from.
He seems to have forgotten all science. Like he knows the basic foundational.
But he didn't forget all science. That's the whole thing.
He knows the basic, like, rational sort of foundational aspects of science. But he doesn't know what radioactivity is or anything like that. You know, he doesn't have a memory of warp drive or anything like that.
No.
You know?
But he is able to, you know, when he's sitting in on the lesson, he knows, he's able to point out, I mean, that town healer or whatever she is.
Yeah. The town scientist doctor.
He knows he's able to, you know, see the limitations in her knowledge or lack thereof.
Right. He knows that there aren't elements, but he somehow knows that there aren't, that life isn't made up of elements, the four elements of fire, stone, or whatever.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know anything else. So the writers are kind of in this weird position where he has to know a little bit, but he can't know too much. And the line is kind of fuzzy. I think if you buy into that, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And I think the episode's good enough where you can buy into it.
Because I like what the episode's doing. Even though it was a little bit frustrating, I also appreciate, I thought it was fitting for Data's character in terms of, you know, taking it upon himself to help these people that he has, you know, no relationship with. He just feels this drive to help.
Yeah.
And he feels this drive to get to the bottom of it. And so I was able, you know, to kind of deal with that because I was okay with, you know, Data doing this. If it was any other character, it wouldn't have made sense to me.
Right. Data's being an android also allows him to die at the end and then come back. No, nothing will really kill him at all.
Yeah.
I think that it's, I think that it obviously had to be a Data episode. I think it's also kind of a good episode for, it's almost a better, on the previous episodes of the podcast, I've always complained about the Prime Directive on this episodes and that the show doesn't really seem to understand, like, what the ethical underpinning of the Prime Directive is and, like, what the reason to be. This is kind of a good episode for why the Prime Directive exists in the first place, because I don't know if you know, but the idea of the radiation is kind of sort of loosely based on something that happened in Brazil, where there was a hospital that got shut down and a bunch of people broke into the hospital and they stole medical equipment, and one of them was, like, a scanner that used radiation. And so they took, they like busted it open to like sell it for parts or whatever. And they took the radioactive material out of it and they didn't know what it was, but it was like glowing because it's radioactive and it glows at night and stuff. So this like, these thieves would like have their families over and everything and everyone, people were like looking at it and handling it. And it's like one of the, they all died, but it's like one of the worst like radioactive disasters in history. They had to like level a town because of all the...
When did this happen?
It was like in the 80s, I think it was in Brazil. But it's that kind of a thing of like, it's that kind of like the, there's this little like horror element to the episode where we know what handling radioactive material will do. Like, you know,
I know when Garvin goes into the box, you're just like, oh,
yeah, I know.
No.
Or the guy's hitting it with the hammer and it's just like, stop hitting that with the hammer.
Yeah, it's true.
No, it's kind of I kind of like the episode just because it has this like creepy undertone to it. I think Data episodes where it's obvious that he's a robot and not fully human are always a little bit creepy in some way. The idea that they're handling radioactive material is creepy. The idea that you can kill Data at the end.
And the otherness of Data and the village and the idea of this like mob coming after Data because they don't understand what he is.
Well, it's very much like the Jesus Christ parable, right? Like he's going to sacrifice himself for people who don't really understand what's going on.
Right.
And I think that's an effective thing. I think it would have, that would have been an effective end. I think that's the way that the character Data should have been killed off, would have been him sort of protecting people who don't really understand. It is very, the archetypal Jesus story.
It is. Yeah. The idea that he can be, resurrected. Because when Crusher turns him back on again, he just like goes upright, just like, like this Lazarus kind of way. I love the way Brett Spiner plays Data. Yeah, this is his physical acting is really impressive to me. That he makes himself move and look
Clay.
Like a robot, and like the way he blinks his eyes, and it makes me think about the guy that played the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz, the way he was able to like manipulate his legs to make him look non-human. That Brett Spiner reminds me of that.
Yeah, the Clay thinks that he is the best actor on the show,
he's the best actor.
Yeah, because I think I agree. Patrick Stewart gets a lot of praise, but Patrick Stewart, Spiner's doing a more difficult role than Picard. Yeah. Data's a more difficult role than Picard is in this series.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart's excellent in creating the Picard character, but yeah, the fact that Spiner has to be something that's not human, and that he's, but then he also does a really, you know, maybe because we just watched that Spock documentary where they talk about what Leonard Zimoy, did so well was showing the conflict in Spock between his human and his alien self, where it was just these really subtle indications that he was struggling and trying to be rational. And I feel like Data does something similar, even though he's fully android, you still get the sense that he genuinely tries to understand and be part of the human world, and it's something that he wants.
See, the there's always a little bit of conflict about whether or not Data feels emotion. I think it's pretty clear Data doesn't have emotion, but people would sort of point to the fact that he reacts to things as if he has emotion. But I think that it's, I don't know what you would think, but I was always wanted to argue that it's just he's learned how to like mimic things like confusion or sort of like surprise. I don't even know if surprise and confusion would be emotions, but they would be sort of like reactions to things. And I don't think Data feels emotion. So he's sort of that, just the, a little bit farther than Spock. Although I guess you could say that they're played in somewhat similar ways, although the motivations of the character are different because Data doesn't feel anything at all. And Spock is trying to just contain himself.
Suppressing. But what Data does, which is interesting, is he genuinely listens to people around him.
In terms of what?
Well, it's not as if Data, you know, Data's always like right, you know, about things. Like he's able to deduce the reasons behind things because of he's a computer. So he can sort all this information and come up with the most sound conclusion to things, but his interactions, even with the healer's name in the village,
I forget her name, the Gaia, or Gia's the girl.
Girl. Whatever. You know, he listens to her without putting her down.
Judging.
Without judging her, which feels very human.
It feels very human or feels very unhuman.
Maybe. Well,
I think that's why he is sort of, he doesn't get frustrated with people who are.
Oh yeah. Maybe that's why he works in this episode too, because he's able to detach himself from the ignorance around him and he can kind of, it's not frustrating to him.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the conflict that comes up from him, and I guess it's Talor, is the doctor, is that he's willing to sort of, like, contradict her, and he doesn't realize why she would be sort of upset by the contradiction, or he's willing to just sort of pursue his rational understanding of what's going on in the face of everything.
And in the face of the townspeople who want to kill him.
Yep. Including
he doesn't feel fear.
Right.
In there, you know, he's not, he more is just, I need to do this covertly.
He doesn't have any sort of fearful, they're going to kill me type thing. Like, he doesn't have any sort of, I can't do the right thing for this reason because I don't want to be killed by these, right. like, Frankenstein villager people with their pitchforks and their torches. I think it's good. And I think that him dying at the end is, makes sense. They fix it right away by just getting beamed up. I do like the smash cut of him getting attacked and you smash cut to the village a couple days later and Riker and Crusher are just there. You don't see the Enterprise arrive. I think that's a nice, it's a good way to go about things.
Would you have preferred that Data wouldn't have been able to be resurrected? Would that have been possible? Can Data ever be destroyed beyond repair?
Yeah, you can blow him up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that he, for this episode, he obviously needs to come back, but this would be the kind of storyline that if I was writing Data off the show, would be the way that I would go about it. Just because I think that his sacrifice kind of makes sense. He does it for people who he's trying to protect people. It's almost more noble than saving people. Sacrificing himself to save people who know that he's sacrificing himself to save people. I think that's a little bit more poignant, a little bit more interesting for the character.
And then the other foil with Troy is her. She's more emotional than she is logical. And that I don't think when push comes to shove, her character would be able to make the kind of sacrifice that Data could make for the Enterprise.
Yeah, maybe that's more of a thematic tie-in that they could have done, just showing the difference between the characters. Although I don't know if that would have made Troy come off as weak or something like that. I do prefer...
This is just me not understanding Troy's character on the ship, but I don't think she's weak. I just think she fits this weird, she's in this weird little role that I don't really understand. Like, I don't understand the training that Troy had to go through in order to get the rank that she has on the ship.
Yep.
If she had the ability, even though she's half Beta Zed, I still don't feel like she's able to get into the consciousness of other people.
You feel she's not good at her job, in other words, and you don't believe that she's empathic or something?
I don't.
Okay.
Do you?
It's the long con. I think she is. I think it's just such a tough... I think it's the same with Data. Like, I think that Troy's empathic and Data can't feel emotion, but it's much harder to write Troy's empathic powers where it makes sense in a lot of contexts. Because I mentioned it before, but Troy's powers are kind of like a plot buster device. If you have someone who can tell when people are lying, but... It serves a lot of times to undermine any kind of mystery.
That's true. Because she would just get to the bottom of it.
Right. So you either have to have her not around or just have her ignore it, which is then like, well, why can't she sense that this guy's lying?
Yeah, she always just senses some type of dishonesty.
Right. It's very vague. It's a vague sense of something.
Yeah, where this person's not trustworthy for whatever reason.
Yep.
But then her, whenever she senses that someone's untrustworthy, they're always obviously untrustworthy. They're always like anybody could come to that conclusion with just like if you thought about it just a little bit.
Right.
You know, like you're just like, yeah, this person doesn't seem right. And Troy, and then they're just like, okay, you know.
Yeah. No, I know. That's always been a recurring weakness ever. I guess anything else about that? I guess that's it about Data. The last thing about Data, I'd say, I felt like it's a little bit, it's a little bit too bad that he doesn't remember what happened on the planet at the end of the episode. Do you think that's appropriate, or is it kind of like... I was a little bit surprised that he doesn't have a memory of what he did. I don't know what the purpose of that is.
Yeah, because he... I mean...
He doesn't remember the little girl. Like, he doesn't remember any of that.
Yeah, because what would have happened to... I don't know if with by him... I don't know, they just conveniently... hit that part of his machinery that shut off memory again.
Right, again, yeah. Yeah.
It's
malfunctioning.
Why does that, I mean...
But what does it serve? Like, what point is the story is being served by having him not remember what happened to him? I don't think there's anything.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it doesn't add to the. You know, I don't think it adds to the theme necessarily.
Right.
That he would have amnesia again.
And you could have had an ending scene where he ties in the title even more, being like true to himself kind of thing, like doing whatever it took. Maybe Picard can be his prime directive hard-ass self and be like, well, Data, you shouldn't have done that. Although I think this all could have been avoided if they'd have sent other people with Data who didn't necessarily have to go to the radioactive site and could have just been like, well, I'll just hang out in the ship. You walk over to the crash ship and get the thing that you need.
The other thing that's weird is if Geordi knew that communication could be cut off because of the radioactive material, you'd think they'd have some kind of backup plan in place to avoid undue interaction with the primitive people. That they would have something that Geordi's just like, yeah, you might not be able to communicate with them. Like, that's a problem.
Was that this? Oh, right. Yeah,
Crusher was trying to communicate to him that they're going to be late because they had to do something else.
Right.
But they had basically no contact with him almost immediately. And they were just like, no, we'll just keep trying.
I would have at least make him wear local clothing. So he can blend in a little bit, you know, like that he goes down in his regular uniform. Yeah. I guess the idea is that they're so far from the societies that he's not supposed to run into them. But you think when you go to a planet that you've never met before, the regulation would be have to dress up like them. They do it every other time. They always dress up like them.
Right.
I don't know. But that's it. Thine own self. I think we're done talking about it. We'll play an audio clip. We'll come back and give our final thoughts and ratings.
Data, are you all right?
I do not know. I am surprised to find myself here. I thought I was on Barkon 4.
What's the last thing you remember?
I had located the crashed Federation probe and collected the radioactive fragments. I was attempting to download the sensor logs from the probe's onboard computer. And there was a power surge. I believe the surge overloaded my positronic matrix. After that, I'd have no memory until this moment. But it appears I had an interesting time.
All right, your final appearance here on the Star Trek TNG podcast anyway. So let's get to our final thoughts and ratings. We're under a little bit of a time crunch. What do you think on this one on our scale of 1 to 5? What are you going to give thine own self?
So a little bit of review on the rating scale. 5 is an episode that you could show to someone who doesn't watch Star Trek.
Five is like a classic, perfect episode. 4 would be a dividing line, where 4 is you'd show somebody who doesn't know what the episode, what Star Trek's about. 3 is like an average episode. So that's the dividing line there. 3s are enjoyable to watch, but I wouldn't show it to someone who's never seen the show before. So what are you going to give?
I think this could edge towards a 4. Is that too generous?
No. I think I was going to give it a 4.
Yeah.
It's probably a weak 4.
Yeah, I guess a weak 4. I don't know. It's tricky because would someone appreciate what Data was doing if they didn't know who Data was?
Probably.
Maybe that's
I
what
think
would make
so.
It a 3.
Well.
Because I think you kind of have to know Data and appreciate his character. And also with Troy's character to see the shortfalls and what they're trying to do in that plot line.
Well, I never really tie that into it, but I guess I'd more be inclined to call this a strong 3 now that I'm thinking about it. Like maybe it's not super great. I think it's a pretty solid episode of the show. It's certainly not one of the worst Data storylines or anything like that. I think you've convinced. I'll give it a 3, a strong 3. I think it's a pretty good average episode. I enjoyed watching it. I watched it twice just for this thing, and I didn't feel bored the second time. I thought the storylines made sense. The Troy thing is kind of pointless, but it doesn't bother me, really. I think it's kind of interesting.
I think it bothered me a little bit more. I think it also would be a 3 because I think when you wonder the divide between the Star Trek universe and the Enterprise. I'm sorry, the Enterprise universe and then this primitive village.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to appreciate the universe of the show.
To understand
why that's, you know.
Yeah.
Like the collision of those two forces are interesting.
Yeah.
They can just, the Enterprise can basically, can wipe out a more primitive people very easily.
Right, the sort of danger of that collision between it. Yeah, and I think, I mean, maybe the episode's almost more interesting for the stuff that's, like, not in the episode, like the sort of periphery stuff that it makes you think about, but...
Well, and then that scene where, like, where Data's looking out at the universe, mm-hmm. you know, where is there, because what is GSA
don't she, yeah, she says, do you think there's a better place where people, like, know each other and no one suffers? I assume he's talking, he's somewhat remembering the Enterprise? Is that what he's supposed to be doing?
I think he's somewhat remembering the Enterprise, but I think that's also just showing that the universe in the show is so vast.
Right.
Too, maybe, or maybe that's just me looking into it too much.
I mean, not remembering the Enterprise, but sort of like the writer making the connection that Data, he doesn't actually remember the Enterprise, but he knows that something like...
He knows there's another place that he...
Or the audience knows that there's another place that's out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it. So I'll give it a 3. You'll give it a 3?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on the show.
No problem.
Thank you to the baby for sleeping through this recording.
I know. He took a good morning nap, allowing this podcast to take place. So I know all of you are happy about that.
Yeah. People love parents talking about their children. So we are going to wrap it up. Thank you for coming on, Amy.
No problem.
And guys, thank you very much for listening. If you're on YouTube, like and comments, appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, rating review helps get the show out there. Rate us on all the podcasters. Facebook.com/ThePenskePodcast. Patreon.com/ThePenskePodcast. Two ways to help support the show. Guys, and also vote on the poll on the YouTube video if you haven't done that yet. Let me know on our scale of 1 to 5 what you thought about Thine Own Self, which is a pretty good, solid episode in the midst of Season 7. But anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening, and I will see you next time.